I'm here with Heather Hampton Noddle, the chairman of Montgomery County Board Economic Development Committee and the Montgomery CEO chair. Did I get it right?
Yes, you did. That's all a right. lot.
Got a lot going on. How's your summer going?
Fast, but not furious. So it's been very good and full of a lot of children activities right now with the four children, but it's been really rewarding.
Yeah, keep you busy, but it's fun.
Yes, and school is literally right around the corner.
That's so crazy.
Thursday the 20th, yeah.
So. Yeah, and we'll be talking about the CEO program a little later on. That's exciting. First off, do you want to talk about the Grain Belt Express? You said you had pretty fresh information. You just got off the phone right before you got here.
Yes, the Grain Belt Express line, as you're aware, the Illinois Commerce Commission just concluded three additional public forums to gather additional concerns or information and support for the Grain Belt Express transmission line. And after speaking with the company, Clean Line Energy, who is promoting the Grain Belt Express line, we conversed about the decision that was made by the Missouri Public Commission on July 1st, mm-hmm. where they had basically voted that no, it was not in the public interest or of public necessity that the line traverse the state of Missouri. And what I learned is that the company is still contemplating whether they will appeal that or whether they will do a complete reapplication. What they've decided, they are not letting the project go. There's no plans to reroute at this stage. It is either do we appeal or do we reapply. So I confirmed that piece of information and then also learned more about the Illinois timeline that's in place.
Yeah, I was curious about the Missouri part of it, kind of how that works and how that applies. And you said November is kind of that same...
For Illinois.
Like when Illinois will vote on it?
Yes. Right now, that timeline for a decision from Illinois, like a definitive decision from Illinois, is anticipated to be November. However, the week of August 17th, there will be hearings in Springfield with the Illinois Commerce Commission and basically evidentiary hearings. So it's an opportunity, the way I understand it, for the company to present evidence to justify the public necessity for the project and why they think they need to traverse Illinois for their drop-off point at Sullivan, Indiana. I had asked the company, would they also be addressing questions that were raised in the forum? For example, one of our county board members, Joe Gasprich, he had mentioned the things our county's already stated related to road and bridge impacts and that we don't think there should be eminent domain allowed because it is a private company. However, he also raised the question of emergency responders. In the event that there was a downed line, given the tremendous amount of voltage that is flowing through these lines, what happens? Mm-hmm. And Joe was not satisfied with the answer that he received on location, but that's why I asked, well, then would there be something addressed in the Illinois Commerce Commission's docket related to that? And we're waiting to hear back from the company on that.
Mm-hmm. And for people who may not have been keeping up with kind of what the Grain Belt Express is, can you give kind of a short summary of what they're thinking about doing?
I think the general overview is there are wind turbines in kind of midwestern Kansas that are generating wind energy, and there is demand on the East Coast and somewhat through the Midwest. I mean, there is demand for, in quotation marks, renewable energy. And they are building the line. Their proposal as a company profit motive is to build the transmission line to connect those wind turbines to basically a drop-off point where it can then hit the grid. And that drop-off point is Sullivan, Indiana. And that's it in a nutshell. I can't tell you exactly how many volts it is. I just know it's going to be big. These are not like the regular kind of power lines we're used to seeing along rural roads.
Which is why it's a big deal, and it's taking a while. But so you said next week, or the end of this month is when?
The week of August 17th.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There are supposed to be hearings at the Illinois Commerce Commission.
Okay. So that, will we know kind of more in kind of the direction of things after that?
Possibly. I think, from my understanding, there will still be that November decision time frame, though. I don't know that that will shape the time frame for decisions, but we'll kind of wait and see to see what kind of content. I think a lot of people will be interested in reading that docket to learn how they did respond to certain questions and present a case for necessity.
All right, so we'll hear more on that next week, potentially. And also next week, school is starting, yes. Which brings up the CEO program is starting. How excited are you to finally get it going?
I can't really put it in words. It's just such a bright spot in not only economic development, but community development for Montgomery County. So I am thrilled that we are starting August 20th, first day of class.
All right.
Yes.
So since I last talked to you, what are some developments or new things that have been happening? I know you had a planning.
We had our annual meeting on Monday, August 10th, with investors. We had 96 in attendance. That included investors, some supporters and friends of the program who have contributed financially to its success and to its launch. We also had our students. We're going to have 15 students in our first CEO, so 15 future CEOs in the class, and their parents were in attendance. They had an opportunity to hear from not only our board members, as we reported on everything we need to do to be transparent and shared a timeline of where we've come from since November, basically. It's just amazing that within 9 months, essentially 9.5 months,
yeah,
we are launching this program. The community support is just incredible, and there was so much excitement in the air. They also heard from the original facilitator of CEO based out of Effingham County, and he is motivating, he's funny, and he has a lot of truisms and wisdom, and gave everyone in the room a good feel for the breadth and scope of the program, and also that it's not just a template. It's the idea that these students, as millennials, the millennial generation, they have strengths, if you think of it as fingers on your left hand, as an example. So their strengths are these five things. Whether it's networking, they know how to do that very well through social media and picking up information, adapting to technology, and other skills in that set. But the other hand, your other five fingers on the right hand, are what our investors and our community are going to help fill in the gaps, so to speak. So these are skills related to professionalism and what do you expect in the workplace, as well as what does it take to really make a business work. It's that perseverance, persistence. Just because you said you did it doesn't mean it's done. We have to keep until the result is there. Just a lot of these things that people have learned over time and take for granted, but we're going to be working together, as well as developing just skills, things like reading a balance sheet and helping numbers balance, and how do you put together a marketing plan, and how do you determine which product, which marketplace, what market segment, and so on. I mean, there's so much to this, and I am absolutely revved up about the possibilities.
So you said you talked to some of the students that are going to be taking the program. Are they catching the excitement too?
Oh, yes. I mean, you could just, even as they walked into the building, National Bank of Hillsborough hosted the event, and the lobby was turned into this kind of catering type environment, but we had a wonderful mixer where the students all stood up and made a circle around the room, almost like a clock. And then investors, the male investors moved clockwise and the female investors went counterclockwise. And so you were meeting these different students, and they would ask questions, and it was like a timed thing. Okay, now everybody, including the students. One example was, have you ever thrown anything in the office? You know, that's kind of a story that not too many people wanted to own up to. But then it was, what's some of the best advice you've ever received? And I forget some of the other questions, but it was really good to just prompt conversation. And you could see the students just already soaking everything in. And the investors and the adults, they were just embracing these students and saying, you know, whatever you need, we want to help you succeed. So it was really exciting.
So what went into the application and the picking process as far as students in the program?
Well, I'm really glad you asked that, because not only are we launching this class right now, August 20th, and they'll be meeting at Hillsborough Hospital for their first several weeks as their base, but they'll also be touring businesses and hearing from business people. But we're also already working through investors and with the school districts, trying to recruit those juniors, the current juniors in high school, for next year's CEO program.
Okay.
So what they'll need to be prepared to do in that application process is write, I hate to use the word essay because that sounds so academic, but they do need to write a statement, a convincing statement about why they think that CEO would be valuable to them, why they value it, what they might get out of it, what they hope to get out of it, and also about what their hopes and dreams are for the future. That doesn't mean they have to say, I want to be running a Fortune 500 company by the age of 32. It's not that kind of a statement. It's more about their connection with the prospect of being an entrepreneur or being a business person and their curiosity about it and their drive to do it. So that's the very important piece to their application, as well as their guidance counselor would have to write a letter of recommendation, essentially. And then they would have two references, not family members, and that's a key thing to point out. It needs to be people that either know them from a community perspective, maybe they've been involved. So many of our young people are involved with the animal control facility or volunteering at the hospital or helping out with food drives and recycling. They're doing so much. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's National Honor Society, whatever. They're out there and they're involved. 4-H, that's one of my favorites. So they could get a letter from a community person and then also from a business leader. So maybe they have a part-time job at McDonald's or somewhere else. Maybe they're babysitting and it's people they babysit for who view them as reliable. It's just important to have those different perspectives. So that's that application then gets packaged, and Hillsborough Chamber of Commerce collects those and then removes every name. They keep a database so they know who submitted what, and they assign a number to it. But they remove any reference to the student's name and school, so that then an anonymous review committee will review them and read them and rank them. Not rank them, but they will score them. It's really not about who's first and who's 20th. That's not it. It is just, are they made of the right stuff, in quotation marks? Mm-hmm. Is this what we're looking for? Do we think they're really going to seize this program and do everything they can with it? And then that selection committee will then notify the board. Well, they actually notify the chamber and say, these are the numbers that we selected. And then the chamber will notify the board and say, these are the students. So that's how the process works. And the applications will be due sometime in February, roughly late February, first week of March, right in there. But we haven't set that date yet for 2016.
Okay. I like that you're already planning ahead for the next year.
Yeah, always.
Do you know a little bit about kind of the, I mean, I'm sure you know the whole thing, but can you tell me about the first couple of weeks, like what the students will be doing?
Well, our facilitator, Dr. Ryan Fallis, is also the investors had a chance to meet him. Many of them knew him, but many more had not yet met him. So it was a great opportunity for them to see a glimpse of some of his skills at facilitating a group and keeping things moving. And so it was really good. And I know that Ryan has been in the process of trying to book speakers. For example, very early on, within the first few days, we're going to have a few people come in and talk about dressing for success. So it'll be that professional dress and also looking and feeling your best. So what's the best look for an individual, rather than just looking at a magazine and saying, oh, I think I want to look like that. Well, what's appropriate in a given setting and what's good on you? So that'll be one of the speakers we're going to hear. I know they're going to be touring. Oh gosh, it's on he has a calendar posted on the Montgomery CEO website. And as we have guest speakers into the location, our investors and our supporters and friends are invited to come in and just sit with the class and hear from those same speakers. Because I know a few people, I'm thinking, I'm going to keep an eye out for when they speak because I want to learn from them. Mm-hmm. And kind of, you know, what do they know and how can I gain from that? I'm one of the speakers on August 26th, just talking about my business experiences over time. And I think I'm planning on touching on highlights of things that I've learned at different stages, from the time I was 8 and sold pet rocks to raising cattle to starting my own business at 24 and those sorts of things. I'm just going to try to give them things I've learned over time about business and see if it sticks.
Cool. Exciting. I'm excited to see it take off and see where it goes and planning on talking to the young adults. I was going to call them kids, but they are young adults.
They're our future CEOs. Yes. That's right. And hopefully, Sarah, here's an example. If you have topics that you know you could talk about, whether it was what I wish I would have learned in school or questions I should have asked, you know, that might be a way to approach it, is mm-hmm. questions I should have asked, or even from your business perspective, you can talk about that connection between community and business that you observe from that side of the microphone. It's all valuable information. And how can we convey that to them? So, you know, I invite you to reach out either through me or through Ryan. Just contact him directly and say, hey, if you need a speaker on this, I'm there for you. And then he'll figure out when to plug people in.
Oh, I'm still learning. But yeah. I wish we had a CEO program when I was in high school.
And I've heard that a lot. That is, so many of the parents are like, man, I wish they had this when I was in high school. Yeah. I know. Right. I know how you feel.
Cool. And last but not least, tourism, Montgomery County tourism.
Yes.
That was something that was talked about at the county board meeting this week. If you could kind of tell us about what's going on there.
Okay. Well, it's interesting. Our County Economic Development Committee has learned that for the motel tax that is collected each time you stay in a motel, if you ever look at your bill, you're going to see, to me, they look like really big numbers at the bottom. You're thinking, wait, I thought the room rate was $85. What do you mean I'm paying $20 more?
Yeah.
A lot of that hotel tax goes to the state of Illinois for tourism development. But what we've learned is, in order to be eligible to get those monies back, because they are, most of them are made to then plow back into communities to help them support tourism, mm-hmm. you have to be part of a bureau. And we do not have a county tourism bureau, and nor do we have any plans. As long as I'm economic development chairman, there are no plans to try to create our own bureau. But what we can do is join Illinois South Tourism Bureau, as an example. Mm-hmm. And we can, through them, then be eligible not only as a county, but our individual communities. And I'm thinking of Nokomis with the BRS Museum, Irving, they have a historical museum, Litchfield, Route 66, the drive-in, Skyview Drive-In. We have our golf courses, Indian Springs. We have some really nice facilities in this county, our lakes, and so on. And it gives us an opportunity then to market that through their networks. So when they are communicating to 50,000 different subscribers as they mail out their publications, mm-hmm. all of a sudden we are part of that. And we can become part of people's staycation planning or vacation planning or just a weekend trip. You know, I want to check out that Hillsboro Festival. Mm-hmm. We have some really good bands out there at the lake.
Yeah.
And Litchfield has numerous events too. So our Economic Development Committee recommended, and the full board approved, that we seek becoming a member in the Illinois South Tourism Bureau at a level not to exceed $2,500. And what we hope to get in return for that, I mentioned the 50,000 type print. They do a very nice glossy print publication, mm-hmm. so our county would be included in that footprint, and then dot points for things like 4C Vineyards and different tourism attractions that people could stop and visit. The Lincoln Monument, a lot of people do a Lincoln Trail, and so we have that bronze statue of Lincoln where he had visited in Hillsboro and so on. Those sorts of things can become part of that. But in addition to that, where I see the most value is they will be helping us identify our brand. And I put that in quotation marks mm-hmm. because early in my career, I was able to work with Illinois pork producers, and pork, the other white meat, is one of the, still to this day, one of the highest recognition slogans ever developed. Okay? Yep. People still, it's pork, the other white meat. And they've had Taste What's Next. They've had things since then, but it's still the other white meat. So that's an example of branding mm-hmm. a product, which involved a logo and a slogan and so much more around it. And what we're hoping is they're going to help us identify, what is Montgomery County's brand? You know, are we the land of the lakes? Are we a Route 66? One of the few, I think, the only original restaurant, the Ariston, mm-hmm. is original, still, you know, operating, still functional, and hopefully will be for years to come on Route 66. I mean, what is it, another brand that we don't even know yet? we have tremendous retirement community potential. We also have young family potential. You know, low crime rates, your cost of living is so much lower even from an hour away, so you can still drive to work but enjoy this good community environment for your children. I mean, what is it? So they're going to help us with that branding piece, which I think has tremendous value. I know of companies and organizations that have spent six digits to get this kind of help, and I'm hoping that we're going to get a lot of bang for our buck.
Yeah, and as I was telling you, I don't think people realize like how much goes into, you know, branding, like you said, branding your county, your area, and you know, that helps with tourism and ultimately money back into the community.
Exactly. And our larger goal, long-term goal, is we need to increase our at a minimum, we need to sustain population.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to grow our population. Does that mean we need to double by the year 2050? No. But we do need to be growing that population to be supporting, frankly, our tax base, our school system, our hospitals. For these important pieces of infrastructure to be in place, you have to have population. You want to have good broadband, you got to have people. We have to make a market case for these things. So that's some of the reality that drives this.
Yep. Tourism helps.
Yes, it does.
All right. Well, I think we've covered a lot of the important stuff going on. Anything else you'd like to add?
I think those are some high points for now. We have more going on with the Enterprise Zone reapplication, but hopefully we'll have some interesting information and data to share. I'm hoping by late September, definitely by mid-October, that we could come back and visit about that. And I'm hoping that you'll have a chance to come visit some of our CEO students.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You've been listening to Around Montgomery County with my guest, Chairman of the Montgomery County Board Economic Development Committee and Montgomery CEO Chair, Heather Hampton Nodal. And I'm your host, Sarah Tomach.